Welcome back. Today we're getting into one of the most fun, most practical skills in Ableton Live for drum and bass, macro recording. If you've ever listened to a rolling DNB track and thought, why does the bass feel like it's constantly evolving, even though it's basically looping? A lot of the time, that's smart automation. And one of the fastest ways to get that movement without drawing a ton of separate automation lanes is using macros. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a reusable bass movement system you can drop into future projects. A bass rack with a handful of macros like filter sweep, drive, bite, sub control, and a reverb throw. Then we'll record those macro moves in real time, like you're performing the bass, and it'll instantly start sounding more alive. All right, let's set the scene. First, set your project tempo to 174 BPM. Anywhere from 170 to 176 is classic, but 174 is a great default. Now make a few tracks. Create a MIDI track and name it bass. Create an audio track for drums or drop in a break, whatever you've got. Optionally, make a PAD or Atmos track if you want context, but it's not required. Quick teacher note, automation decisions are way easier when you're hearing them against a groove. Even a basic drum loop will help you automate with purpose. Now let's build a simple rolling bass sound using stock devices. On your bass track, add Waveeatable. If you prefer Operator, that's totally fine, but I'll describe it with Waveeatable. Choose a saw-based starting point or a gritty Waveeatable. Nothing fancy yet. Set the instrument to mono so it feels focused. If you want glide, add a little, but keep it tasteful. We're going for controlled roll, not a portamento solo. After the instrument, add this effect chain in order. EQ 8. Auto filter. Saturator. Amp. Optional but great for some bite. Glue compressor. Utility. The mindset here is important. We're building a chain that can go from clean and controlled to nasty pressure, but still stay manageable. Drum and bass is all about that balance, movement and aggression, but with the low end still behaving. Now we're going to turn this whole chain into a macro-ready rack. Click and select all those audio effects, from EQ 8 down to utility, and group them with CMDG on Mac or Control-G on Windows. That creates an audio effect rack. Then hit the macro button on the rack so you can see the macro knobs. This is the key concept. Macros only exist inside instrument racks and effect racks. Think of a rack as your custom instrument panel, and macros are the performance controls on that panel. Now for the fun part, mapping. Click the map button on the rack. While map mode is on, you click a parameter in any device, then click a macro to assign it. You'll see it light up and show the mapping. Let's build a DNB tested set of macros. Macro 1. Name it LPF sweep. Click auto filters frequency, then click macro 1. Set a musical range. A good starting point is something like 80 or 150 Hz on the low end, up to around 2.5K to 8K on the high end, depending on how bright your bass is. Optionally, map auto filter resonance very lightly to the same macro. Keep the range small. Resonance can explode fast, especially when you add drive later. Why this macro matters? It's your classic tension and release tool. Close it down for control and suspense. Open it up for arrival into the drop. Macro 2. Name it drive. Map saturator drive to macro 2. A solid range is 0 dB up to about plus 10 dB. Now here's a pro stability move. Map saturator output to the same macro, but downward. So as you add drive, the output drops slightly. That way your automation reads as more aggression, not just it got louder. Teacher note, in dance music, louder often feels better, so it's easy to trick yourself. Try to keep level stable so you're judging tone and groove honestly. Macro 3. Name it bite. If you added amp, map amp gain or amp dry wet. If you didn't use amp, you can map an EQ 8 mid-band gain, somewhere in the 700 Hz to 2K range, boosting just a little. For amp dry wet, something like 0 up to 35% can work. For an EQ boost, 0 up to about plus 4 dB. This macro is about bringing the bass forward in the mix without destroying the sub. Think mid-presence, not more low-end. Macro 4. Name it sub-control. There are a couple ways to do this. A practical one is mapping an EQ 8 low shelf gain around 60 to 120 Hz with a small range, like minus 3 dB to plus 3 dB. You can also map utility width, but be careful. Widening low frequencies can wreck mono compatibility. If you do use width, keep your sub mono and use width more for mid layers. For now, the EQ low shelf method is safer for beginners. Macro 5. Name it space throw. This is that classic DNB ear candy. Tiny splashes of space at the end of phrases. Add a reverb after your rack. You can also put it inside the rack, but after distortion is usually safer and cleaner. Set your reverb with a size around 40 to 70, decay around 2 to 5 seconds. Use high cuts somewhere around 4 to 8K so it doesn't get too fizzy. And very important, low cut around 150 to 300 Hz. Do not smear your sub with reverb. Now map reverb dry wet to macro 5, with a range like 0 to 25%. Macro 6, optional. Name it pump or clamp. Map glue compressor threshold to macro 6. Set a range like minus 10 to minus 30 dB, but adjust based on your signal. This one is level dependent. This can tighten sustain or create a controlled clamp feeling. Just don't overdo it unless you want that audible squeeze. Before we move on, take a moment to rename your macros so they describe what they do in the track. Drop open, mid bite, fill splash, stuff like that. This sounds small, but it makes you work faster and more musically. And if you like this rack, save it as a preset so every future project starts with the same performance controls. Now let's write a bass pattern so we can actually hear the automation doing something. Create a 1-bar MIDI clip on the bass track. Pick notes around F1 to A1, depending on your key. Keep it simple. For rhythm, aim for that DNB syncopation. Offbeats, little gaps, not just straight 8th notes all the way through. If you're brand new, start with 8th notes, then remove a few notes to create bounce. Once the 1-bar feels decent, duplicate it out to 16 bars. Now we're ready for the core skill. Recording macro automation and arrangement view. Press tab to go to arrangement view. Make sure your rack and macros are visible. Up top, find automation arm. It's that little automation enable button. Turn it on. This is the number one beginner mistake. If automation arm is off, you can move knobs all day and nothing records. Now hit record and let it play from bar one. And while it plays, you're going to perform your macros like an instrument. Here's a classic 16-bar DNB phrasing script you can follow. Bars 1 to 8, keep it darker and controlled. Slowly open macro 1, the LPF sweep, over those 8 bars. Not all the way, just enough to feel like it's gradually revealing the mids. At the end of bar 8, do a quick space throw. Think of it like a momentary button. Just a short spike on the last 8th note or last quarter note, then back down. Bars 9 to 16, now it's arrival. Open the filter a bit more, and start nudging up drive. Again, subtle. You're not trying to melt the speakers, you're trying to build pressure. End of bar 16, another quick space throw. Then stop, press it to show automation lanes in arrangement. Find your bass track's automation. You'll see lanes labeled by your rack and macro name. Now do a cleanup pass, because when you record knob movements, you often get little jitters and zigzags, especially if you're on a mouse or a sensitive controller. Your goal is not perfect math. Your goal is a clean, musical curve. Here's a trick. Instead of redrawing everything, delete the tiny accidental wiggles. Keep the main shape you performed. Also consider setting your grid to 1/8 or 1/16 before you record next time, and try to move knobs on meaningful moments. End of bar 4. End of bar 8. Last 8th note before a fill. That alone makes your automation feel intentional. Now, a quick but important coaching moment. Choose the right automation type on purpose. Arrangement automation is for one-time performances, long builds, unique transitions, the this happens once in the song stuff. Session view clip envelopes are for ideas that live inside the clip. Variations you can swap quickly, ABC versions of bass movement and live launching. So let's do the session view method too. Press tab to go to session view. Make a 4-bar clip for your bass. Click the clip and open the envelope section in the clip view at the bottom. Choose the device, your audio effect rack. Choose the control, macro 1, macro 2, whichever you want. Now you can draw the movement directly into the clip. This is amazing for drum and bass because you can duplicate that clip into 3 versions. Same MIDI notes, totally different movement. One is dark and controlled. One is aggressive and mid-forward. One is spacey for breakdowns. Then you can launch them like variations and record that performance into arrangement. One more distinction that helps you think clearly. Automation versus modulation. In MIDI clips, Lev has envelope lanes that can feel like either. If you're controlling a device parameter like a rack macro, treat it like automation. If you're shaping something more like MIDI-style control data, think modulation. Practically, the big takeaway is this. Clip-based movement is easy to duplicate and tweak, so use it for variations. Now let's talk about the most common mistakes, so you can avoid the classic traps. Mistake 1. Automation arm off. Nothing records. Mistake 2. Macro ranges are way too extreme. If your filter minimum is like 20 Hz, you'll delete the base and wonder why your drop vanished. If your drive range is massive, you'll get level spikes and clipping. Mistake 3. Over-automating everything. Drum and bass needs purposeful movement. Pick 2 or 3 main macros to perform. Too many moving parts just sounds random. Mistake 4. Forgetting gain staging. Distortion plus resonance equals surprise peaks. Watch your meters and use utility gain to keep headroom. Mistake 5. Reverb on sub. Always low cut your reverb. Always. Now for a couple spicy pro tips to make your macros feel like one knob equals vibe shift. You can map multiple parameters to one macro. For example, as the LPF opens, you can also increase drive slightly and maybe pull reverb down a touch so it feels more forward and dry. That's a coherent push to the front move. You can also do two-stage macros, meaning the first half of the knob does gentle filter opening, and the second half wakes up extra stuff like distortion or resonance. You do that by setting narrow mapping ranges so some parameters only start moving later in the macro's travel. This is how you get macros that feel like they have a story arc. And if you want a really big sound design upgrade later, split your bass into sub and mid layers. Keep a clean sub track mostly unautomated, maybe just light sidechain. Then do your wild macro rack on the mid layer. Now you can automate aggressively without wrecking low-end consistency. That's sub-protected architecture, and it's huge in heavier D&B. Alright, mini practice exercise. Do this right after the lesson. Make a 16-bar bass phrase with only 3 macro moves: LPF sweep, drive, and space throw. Record in arrangement. Bars 1 to 8, LPF goes from about 20% open to around 50%. Bars 9 to 16, LPF goes from 50 to 80%, and drive increases slightly. Bass throw only on the last hit of bar 8 and bar 16. Then loop it and ask yourself two questions. Does it feel like it's going somewhere every 4 bars? And is the low end steady while the mids evolve? If the low end wobbles or gets messy, reduce how much distortion and reverb touch the lows. Remember, in D&B, the sub is the foundation. Movement is mostly the mid-bass game. Final recap. This audio version is shortened for playback.